there's so few things that like universally are applicable to everyone. And sex is like a central truth that none of us would exist without it. And so why is it so hard to talk about? Why is it so stigmatized?
You're listening to the Almost 30 podcast
with Krista Williams
and Lindsay Simcic.
Whether you're looking to laugh or looking for advice and inspiration,
we're so glad you're here.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode. So excited to introduce you to Polly Rodriguez. Polly Rodriguez inspires the shit out of me. I got off the phone with her. Lindsay and I got out of recording with her, and I felt so moved, so excited about what women are doing. So we are so excited to introduce her to you. And then two, if you are going to be in LA on October 14th from 3 to 7 at Sage Wellness for our Sex, Love, and Other Things event, Polly is going to be speaking there. So Unbound and Almost 30 will be having the event. So this is just a little tidbit of this badass female that we're going to share with you today. And then you can get a little bit more at our event on October 14th.
So Polly is the co-founder and CEO of Unbound Box, which is a really fun place to go to explore sex toys and jewelry and lubes and things like that. And there's no stigma. You know what I mean? I think like people envision going shopping for sex toys and they think of going down like a dark alley into this like Hollywood hustler store, you know? So
highway.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they started because they wanted to change how women felt about these types of products and help them really enjoy their sex life. So we talked to Polly about starting that business, which was really difficult pitching to mostly male investors. And we also talked to her about struggles she had early on with her health. She was 21 years old and found out she had colon cancer, which thrusted her into early menopause and really forced her to think about her sexuality and her body in a different way. So we talk all about that. And we also talk about dating. We talk about
what it's like to be a woman in a male-dominated industry. So what was really interesting to me was finding out that the sex industry is largely led by men. So middle-aged, gross dudes telling us what we want with our bodies, and Polly is really here to change that. So she dives deep into what it's like to be a business owner, female, badass CEO in the sex industry, what it's like to talk to investors, everything on the business side, as well as her personal story, which really freaking shook me.
So amazing. So we hope you guys enjoy this interview with Polly Rodriguez. Let us know what you think. We're always so open to conversation following our episodes. So join our secret Facebook group and chat with us in there. In the meantime, enjoy this episode.
We were just having a conversation before the recording about dating in LA and New York, because Polly is based in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she's dating in New York, and we used to live in New York, so we kind of mm-hmm. knew the scene, or I knew the scene as a single gal, and now I'm dating in LA. But yeah, so what has your experience been in New York, Polly, with dating?
I mean, there's like my experience in New York, and then there's my experience like doing Unbound and also being in New York, because like people Google my name, or they like ask about the company, and it's just like a complete downward spiral.
Really?
But oh my God, yeah, people make so many assumptions about like me and just like my like sexuality. And like I had a guy bring a crop on a date once, and I was just like, what is
that? Wait, what is he wearing?
An actual like BDSM crop. And I was like, what?
How did you find out?
It was like we were like at dinner, and it was like a mini one, and it was like it was like kind of on the floor next to his chair, and I was like I don't mean to be awkward, but like what is that? And he's like, oh, you know what it is. And I'm like, yeah, I think I do, but like that's really, really weird. Why would you bring that? And he was like, I Googled you. I know what you're into. And I was like, what? I was like, I'm getting out of here. I was like, I've got to go.
I know what you're into.
Oh my gosh.
Wait. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh
man. But yeah, New York's, it's a lot. I think it's just like a hyper-competitive city. And I think that also, you see that in the dating world, where it's just constantly people trying to assess like you know, how cool of a job do you have? How, I mean, it's not all bad, but yeah, it's competitive. It's a competitive town.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about,
can we introduce her first?
Oh yeah, yeah. Story of my life. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. Okay. I want to talk about, so introduce yourself. Sorry.
I'm Kylie Rodriguez. And I am the CEO and co-founder of Unbound, which is a sexual wellness company for women.
Who's the other founder?
Jackie Trishwell. She cold emailed me when I was like, we started a subscription box, mm-hmm. and I was like working out of my apartment. Literally, I have this like little attic space that I'm like taping every shipment, doing everything myself. And she like reached out to me via cold email as a Columbia Business School student and was like, I really think what you're doing is amazing. Can I come like intern for you? And I was like, I cried tears of joy. I was like, oh my God, yes, please. I was like, but just so you know, we're like not a real company. I mean, like we are. Like have grown like crazy in the last like 2 years. But when I first started, it was miserable. But now we're like a teenager company. We're kind of in our like awkward growing years, but it's fun.
It's amazing what you've done. Can we talk about how you're a Red Hawk too?
Yeah.
Can we please talk about how we both went to Miami University of Ohio?
Yeah, and everyone's like, Miami of Ohio, oh my God, you must have loved those beaches. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even think you know what it was like. What was your experience?
So I had a like definitely not traditional experience going to Miami of Ohio. One, because like I didn't do Greek life. Like I was a huge nerd in college. And two, because I got cancer while I was a junior living abroad in Spain and like was sick all the time. And so I had to drop out my like second semester junior year and then come back as a fifth year after all my friends had graduated. Mm. So I like made friends with some like really interesting, wonderful people. But I just like definitely did not have the traditional college experience. But I love Miami. Like I love the school. I love, you know, the community. Oxford's like a great college town. I love Bagel and Deli. I wish they would open one here in New York.
Yeah, they probably have better bagels in New York though.
Yeah, but like the steamed bagel, like I don't understand why that doesn't
they would steam it. Yeah, remember so Cookie Monster bagel?
Good. Oh,
it's
my
like
God,
a blueberry.
What kind of name
you
is
want
that?
To hear what it was like, guys? It was a blueberry bagel that was steamed with cream cheese in the middle and a cookie in the middle.
It was
like,
so good.
What is that? Like,
it's a crime.
Yeah, it should be illegal. Honestly, should be illegal.
They would just make magic. Like, I remember they would give you a bagel and you could get a Lucy, which is just like a single cigarette. They'd just like stick it in the middle of the bagel.
Oh, yes. A cigarette.
Yeah.
Damn, I hope no one's doing cigarettes anymore.
Smoking, do you know? Them? When I was there the first year, you could smoke in the bars.
Oh.
And I remember I would wake up and I'd like have my like straightener and I'd be like getting ready to go to class, putting on my Uggs, whatever. Fuck. And I'd straighten my hair and it'd just be like a billow of cigarette smoke would come out because you could just smoke in the bars until you just would reek of cigarettes the next day. It was so gross.
I was in Nashville a few weeks ago and I smelled like cigarettes for like the next 3 days. Yeah, you could smoke crazy. In the bars. I was like, my pores just absorbed all this smoke.
Yeah.
I hate it. Why didn't you decide to do Greek life? Last question about Miami of Ohio.
Oh, I got blacklisted.
Why?
Okay, so
this is what we're talking about. This is why we're here today.
So, you know, so you get to like one day during rush where you do a craft for the philanthropy of the charity. And I can't remember which sorority it was, but they sent a blind kid to space camp and like their whole thing was about like blind kids. This is really terrible. Keep in mind, I'm like from St. Louis. I went to school in Miami, Ohio. I did not know anyone. I'm like nervous as can be. And I'm sitting there and we're making these cowl puppets and I'm not artistic. And I like made a joke that was like, oh, I guess it doesn't matter that this looks really terrible because they're not going to be able to see it anyways. Oh. And I got blacklisted for that.
Oh, damn. Wait, why were they made? I'm just kidding. Why the puppets? Towel puppets?
It was basically making towels into like animal shapes for children. Huh. I don't know. It was a weird craft, to be fair.
We should just take all this money that we're doing for sororities and just give it to the charities.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just cut the bullshit. Let's just give the money straight to charities.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think there's enough of a nest egg that you could probably do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of money in Miami.
100%.
But what about you? Were you in a sorority?
Yeah, I was a DG. I was Anchors Away. Delta Gamma.
Oh my God.
Hot damn, yeah. Delta Gam.
I think my sister was too.
Yeah, I was a DG. I liked it.
We probably have a million mutual friends.
Oh, 100%.
What year did you graduate?
2010. We were same graduates.
Oh, yeah. So you would know like Margaret Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
Kirsten Snell, Alyssa.
Mm-hmm.
What is Alyssa's last name? Anyways, those are awesome. Yeah, I was mm-hmm. just with her like 2 weekends ago at a wedding. That's so funny. Yep.
Such small babes.
World.
Wait, talk to us about, I mean, what it was like to get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
When you were and what type of cancer and how
it was
that?
Terrifying. So I first started seeing symptoms. I had colorectal cancer, so like you don't get to pick which one you get. I like, you know, literally got the most I don't want to say embarrassing, but kind of like least sexy kind of cancer one could get, and there'd be blood when I went to the bathroom, and I was like really embarrassed about it, and I didn't want to talk to anyone about it, and so I would. Like I saw, I went to a doctor and she was like, oh, it's probably nothing. Maybe it's like IBS, maybe it's Crohn's disease. And it just gradually got worse and worse. And then when I was living abroad in Spain, like Miami didn't have, outside of Luxembourg, like any really study abroad program. So I just enrolled in like the local university in Madrid and was in like way over my head. Like was in like upper level economics courses in Spanish and it was miserable. And like the classes were so hard and I didn't know what I was doing. And then coupled that with like being super sick and I like... It just got really bad. Like I was lightheaded all the time. Like I felt like I always had to go to the bathroom. It was so embarrassing. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, do I go to like the local hospital here? Like, do I go to the ER? I mean, the answer is yes, I should have just gone and did that, but it didn't. And so I remember my mom came and visited me and she was like, you look awful.
Oh.
And I was like, thanks, mom. But
it's part for the course like, for a lot of moms.
Yeah,
so I'd be like,
right,
yeah, I know.
Right.
Thanks.
So yeah, basically I ended up having to, like, I came home and I got like a colonoscopy, I think like 3 days after I got home and it was like 3 days before Christmas. And I remember there's the doctor, like, he was like, oh, I'm sure it's nothing. I'm sure you're fine. And then like, I woke up and he's like standing over me and he's crying and I'm like, oh God, this
the doctor is?
Yeah, because he felt so bad because I knew something was really wrong and I went in to see him and I was like, I think I have cancer. Like, I think something's really, really wrong. And he's like, there's no way the odds of someone that like is your age and is in shape and like eats healthy, the odds of you having colon cancer are less than one. It's like a one in literally, he said a million chance that like that would be it. And then when I woke up, he was crying and he's like, I'm really
sweetheart.
Sorry. It's cancer and it's really bad. So.
Oh my God.
So yeah.
What was your treatment?
Yeah, so then what?
So then I basically had to drop out of school because they wanted to start radiation and chemotherapy like immediately. It had spread to like all my lymph nodes that were like, that's kind of like the highways and byways of like your internal system. And so like, it's really bad if it spread to the lymph nodes because then it could have metastasized elsewhere and they just haven't like caught it yet. So it was like radiation, chemotherapy and surgery. And then I had to have, oh my God, it was, I don't know if it's like TMI, but I had to have what's called an ileostomy bag, which was like by far the worst part. Because the surgery was so severe, they had like paralyzed me from the chest down. This is like really
what?
Like wow. Debbie Downer talk. But
no, this is real.
So yeah, I was like in the hospital for a long time and had effectively a poo bag, which was just like so, it's such a humbling experience to just go through something like that at that age. And I got, and like lost, I got down to like 87 pounds at one point because I just could not eat. And I like always say that cancer is the best thing that ever happened to me because it taught me like what real love is. Like I had a terrible, not terrible, but I had a not great relationship with my parents growing up in the sense that I got in a lot of trouble and acted out a lot. And like moving back in with my parents at 21 and being like physically dependent on them just really changed the way I see the world. But coming out of that, the radiation treatment catapulted me into menopause at the age of 21. And I just remember like being on the internet and like looking for answers and trying to figure out what that meant. And like ending up on these like really trashy websites and feeling like, why is there not good information out there that like is relatable for young women when it comes to their sexuality? And like, why aren't my doctors talking to me about this? Like, why do I feel embarrassed about this? And that was a big reason why I ended up starting Unbound, was because I just felt like it was silly that you had to like go to some trashy store on the side of the highway to buy a vibrator and to like try to like be an informed consumer and know what you were looking for and not feel stupid about it. Because I felt stupid about it going through menopause and feeling like I like needed to be given permission to buy a vibrator or lubricant or whatever it was.
What is it? Can you explain? So what does it mean when your body's in menopause?
Well, it basically, I mean, the shortest way to say it is you just effectively stop menstruating. For me, it was like radiation. My like ovaries were kind of like in the line of fire. And so radiation effectively is like putting your organs in a microwave. It just kills, the beams kill everything that they touch. And so my ovaries have just stopped like functioning. Like they were just like, you're not going to have functioning organs like anymore. So it sucks because like you get like all these like hot flashes. I'm like, you know, I'm this 21-year-old with this poo bag and I'm like getting hot flashes and it was just like the worst. And it's weird because I feel like we don't really talk about menopause much. And it's interesting because women will, you know, have early onset menopause somewhat frequently. Like some women, it'll happen in like your late 40s, 50s, more commonly like late 50s, early 60s. But it's a pretty big like life event in terms of just your hormones changing, your body changing, all of that, you know.
I think there's a bit of shame around it just because, you know, we're such an ageist culture. So, you know, we favor the young, we favor being young. So I feel like there's a bit of shame when women don't want to admit that they're reaching menopause because it makes them feel older. Or it could be, there could be like a judgment around it.
Oh, 100%. I think it's also like people assume, well, one of the side effects is it affects your sex drive, it affects your libido. I personally believe that a lot of that is like your mentality. And like for me, like I'm still very much a sexual person. But I think women feel, yeah, it can feel like a hard life event because it is stigmatized, I think, where it's like, oh my God, I'm getting old and like, I'm not, you know, desirable. I'm not sexual. I'm not any of these things. And I don't know. I think that's a little silly. I think people have to define their sexuality for like what it means to you individually. And then like go, you know, like one of my good friends who's a sex educator always compares it to like the gym and like working out. It's like, sometimes you don't want to go, but like you never like, you know, walk out of the gym and are like, oh, that was terrible. Like you usually almost always feel good afterwards. And so I think thinking about your sexuality similarly can be helpful, where it's like you have to remember to invest in it.
Mm. How did you stay hopeful? I mean, like during that time so young, I don't think like, I know at 21, I didn't have the perspective on life or like kind of seeing the like far future and knowing that there was going to be something better. Like, did you have like relationships that you leaned on? Like what was keeping you like going?
Yeah, I had an amazing boyfriend at the time who is still one of my like really, really good friends. And he was just absolutely incredible. Like spent so much time with my family, with me. And my family was just, my parents were saints. Like I was such a difficult person to be around because I was just so angry at the world. I was just, you know, like mad because it was kind of like, I was supposed to have this like great, like all my friends are like graduating from college and like moving to new cities and like having great jobs. And like, I just felt so envious and left behind. And it was really hard not to get angry. I started writing a lot, actually. That helped me a lot. Journaling and having, like, it's really hard to have perspective. And it's to your comment, like, it's really hard to see the forest from the trees. And I think for me, being able to, like, write down how I was feeling and then go back and read entries and things that I'd written, you know, months prior where I was like, I'm never going to get through this. I'm never, like, this is the worst. And you realize, like, you will get through it. And you just have to take it. My mom would always say, just like one day at a time. We just have to take it one day at a time. Cause it is hard. What I got a dog. That was like a really big, important thing. Cause it gave me a sense of like responsibility and something to do. Because when you're that sick, you just literally lay on the couch all day and I felt just like so worthless. And so having a dog was really helpful because one, it was companionship. But then two, it was like, well, I have to get up and I have to take care of Winston. I have to like, you know, take Winston outside. I have to take him for a walk. And so that was really helpful too.
Do you remember when you, so are you, you're cancer free now?
Yeah, I'm healthy now.
Do you remember the day when you found out you were cancer free?
Well, it didn't really work that way because I had surgery where they open you up and they cut out the cancer. And then they just basically are like, okay, like we have to hope that like, they gave me a 30% chance of survival and then they gave me an 80% chance that the cancer would come back. So there was only like a 20% chance that the cancer was like gone. And so it's basically just kind of this waiting game where once you hit the 5-year marker, like it's been when it's been 5 years since you've had cancer, you're basically in the clear. So I did get a tattoo when I hit the 5-year marker. That is the tally marker symbol for 5. Like in Spain, they keep tally markers as like a box with a diagonal in the middle of it, as opposed to like 5, as opposed to 4 lines in a diagonal, how we do here, which I always thought was artistic and interesting. And so because I got sick when I was in Spain, I kind of reclaimed that. I don't know. It's weird. But that's my tattoo. That's a tattoo I got when I had the 5-year
marker. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So bring us back to when you were, before you started Unbound Box, you were working at a startup. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a weird kind of career path. When I got cancer, I lost healthcare insurance and it almost like financially ruined my family. And that experience made me really want to go work on Capitol Hill. And I was just like, I've always been very politically active, but seeing that like healthcare was a, like, it just blew my mind that like my family, my whole life has paid for health insurance. And then the moment I needed it, I lost it.
So they dropped you?
So this was before the Affordable Care Act had passed and you could only be insured under your parents if you were enrolled as a full-time student. Well, I had to de-enroll because I had to move back home because I had to have like surgery and chemo and radiation. And there's no way I was going to be able to like be a full-time student. And by de-enrolling from college, I lost healthcare coverage. So yeah, it was crazy. So I worked for Senator Claire McCaskill briefly. I loved her. I loved working in DC, but I was just like very quickly disillusioned by the way Capitol Hill works in the bureaucracy. And so then I went to strategy consulting, loved it, moved to Manhattan, like fell in love with the city, and then decided I didn't want to go to, when consulting, you kind of have to choose, do you want to go to business school or do you want to do something else? And I decided I want to do something else. And so I joined a dating startup, which was crazy.
What's that like?
And I learned a lot. It was called Grouper. It like,
oh, you know. Yeah.
Oh, you have. Mm-hmm. Right.
I was like set up to go on a Grouper. Like I had a friend pull me in and I didn't, I don't think it ended up happening.
Did you go on one?
No, I didn't. But I had a bunch of friends who would all the time, actually.
Yeah. It was cool. It was a cool concept. It was like really good for, I think, young 20 somethings when you first move to a city and you like, don't really want to like go on a one-on-one date. And this was before, so Grouper ultimately ended up failing as most startups do, especially dating startups are just as hard. Like they're so like fad oriented where they're like they're a thing and then they're not. And so, yeah, it was good. But then like Tinder and Hinge and a couple of these others popped up and people just wanted to swipe. And our whole thing was like, you don't know the other group. We like would match you and then you just like kind of show up. And it was kind of like magical in that way because you like would go into it kind of like expecting the worst, at least I would. And then usually you're pleasantly surprised by like the group that like people really loved it. So it was cool, but then consumer like tastes and expectations changed. So, and the company was weird culturally. There were like some weird stuff, but it, yeah. So then leaving that, I was like, there needs to be like a badass company that like, I was just like, I don't know. I didn't leave that company on the best note, just didn't quite see eye to eye with the founder. And so I was just like, what's the craziest startup I could go create? And I was like, you know, nobody's really making a really good online shopping experience, like vibrators and lubricant. So like, well, let's do that.
I love that. And where did you, I want to talk about, you know, starting the business, but where did you growing up? How did you become so free sexually?
Oh God, I don't know that I am. I mean, I definitely, it's funny because people will find out about like what I do and they'll all of a sudden think that I like am this like super like whether it's like BDSM or and I do know more than probably the average person, but to me it was just kind of like, this doesn't make sense. Like, sex is one of, there's so few things that like universally are applicable to everyone. And sex is like a central truth that none of us would exist without it. And so why is it so hard to talk about? Why is it so stigmatized? And for me, it was just kind of like seeing a market opportunity really of like, why is there not like a really good brand that is doing this in a way for women that like feels like a health or a beauty brand? And I think it's largely because of the stigmas associated with the industry. And I was like, well, I don't really care so much about that. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't, people are going to think what people are going to think. And I don't really care. I don't, people are like, oh, my mom was like so worried. She's like, your reputation's going to be like totally destroyed. And I was just like, I don't think so. I really don't. I was like, I think the world's ready for like sex to be something that we can talk about more openly.
100%. Damn, that says something, you know, because I'm sure my mom would say the same, you know, coming from St. Louis, I'm in Cincinnati, like, yeah, your reputation is going to be tarnished. It's like, well, what does that mean? You know, yeah. Like, what do you mean when you say that? Like,
in whose eyes?
In whose eyes? Yeah. Am I going to be assumed to be a slut because I'm, you know, aware and like about sex? Or so what do you think are the stigmas are in the sex industry? Or what do you think, you know, has kept this idea from coming along sooner?
Well, there's two big things. One is like talent. So I remember I went to my first industry trade show and I like wear my business casual. I'm like ready to rock. Like I walk in and it's in Miami and it's in this hotel and it is just like all these like middle-aged white men. And I'm just like, wait, what? Like where are the women in this industry? And it was like the trade show was, I remember I got my like agenda and it started at 9 and it went until 6 p.m. at night. And they were 30-minute meetings in hotel rooms with these people. And I'm like, I have to meet these guys one-on-one in their hotel room. This is so sketchy and weird. And it was because they didn't want the companies to have their inventory or their products out in the hotel where people could see them. And so you had to meet with these guys one-on-one in their hotel rooms and everything about it was just like, so,
but it's like a convention for that. I don't understand why they wouldn't put it out there.
Cause it's also like when you look at the products, like they're all so phallic. They're all like, like the thing that always surprised me about just like the mechanics is that biologically speaking, the majority of women need clitoral stimulation in order to orgasm. There's no reason the products need to be like phallic or like big and like it's just to me it was reflective of like what would a dude think that a woman would want, like some huge, like, you know, like, and it was just funny because it's like, it's if you look at some of the female owned companies that have like popped up, like Dame Products or Chalk Rubs or any of these like amazing companies that are so design centric, the products don't look that way at all. And so I think getting women into the industry was step one. And then step two that we're like working on now is just access to capital. So there's so many, it took me 2.5 years to finally close our seed round because there's so many institutional barriers. Like venture capital firms just like do not want to invest in a company that's affiliated with sex. And so if you can't get venture funding, it's really hard to scale your business. And most of these companies are like family owned and operated, literal mom and pop shops that have been around for like generations.
Damn.
So it's fascinating. Yeah, exactly. The industry is fascinating.
I never ever thought about it like that. The fact that it's run by men and all of these, even vibrators that are super phallic. It's like there's no need for a vibrator to look like a dick. You know what I mean? Like it's just, I never occurred to me. That's so interesting.
Hey guys, we interrupt this episode to bring you a word from our sponsor, HelloFresh.
HelloFresh.
Hello meals that I only spend 30 minutes cooking and they're delicious and healthy and the ingredients are pre-portioned out. So good thing I don't have any measuring cups anyway. Yep.
What I love about HelloFresh is that they have 2 dietitians on staff that make sure my meals are nutritionally balanced and amazing. And also they're less than $10 a meal. So anytime I
I go out in LA, I'm spending at least $20 on a meal. So to save $10 on a meal during the week that I know is going to be nutritionally balanced is amazing.
Yeah, so good. And you're just able to like focus on the experience of cooking rather than worrying about all the other shit. So you can use our code ALMOST3030 to get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. So go to HelloFresh.com. You use our code ALMOST3030 and you get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. Enjoy.
Hey guys, a quick word from our sponsor, Hum Nutrition. So besides the fact that they make amazing quality vitamins that I take every single day, I love Hum Nutrition because they believe in supporting women. So Hum has been behind Almost 30 since the beginning, and I was having dinner with a few of the people that work at Hum Nutrition the other night, and I was reminded how thankful and grateful I am that they supported and believed in Almost 30 since the beginning. So not only do I use all of their products and want for you to experience their products too, but I believe in the people that work there and I believe in their support of the community of creators. So humnutrition.com, get your most amazing vitamins ever.
It's super, super easy. You go to www.humnutrition.com, take a little quiz, and a leading nutritionist will recommend 3 to 5 different vitamins that will have you feeling better in no time. And you can use our code ALMOST30 at checkout to get 20% off your first order. So humnutrition.com, our code is ALMOST30. You get 20% off. All right, guys, enjoy. This episode is also brought to you by HarperWild.com. They are changing the way that we buy bras. I hate going to the store and shopping for bras.
Same.
It's like, it's the worst. So they offer a free at-home try-on. Their bras are so comfortable. Kristen and I literally haven't like been out of our Harper Wild bras. We should probably wash
them. Wearing mine every single day. I also sent the link for Harper Wild to everyone in my family. So to my mom, to my sister, to all my friends, because I want them to feel as comfortable in their bra every single day as I have been feeling wearing my Harper Wild bra.
Yeah, so you can go to HarperWild.com/almost30 and you get a free at-home try-on. You keep what you want and you send back what you don't. They have strapless bras, all different skin tones, your regular t-shirt bra, a little push-up bra. And what we love about this company is that they give back. So they are giving back to help girls in education. And also coming up on October 5th, Harper Wild is holding an event at NerdMelt LA with The Nerdist. So it's like a partnership, a comedy show. They've gotten together with them. It's like a rock star all-female cast. And they'll be doing raffles for Harper Wild products and proceeds will go to The Girl Project, which is so amazing. So you can go to HarperWild.com/... Let me make sure I get this right, because if I mess it up, you go to HarperWild.com/Nerdist, N-E-R-D-I-S-T, and you can get those tickets. We will be there, so we would love to see you there. All right, guys, so HarperWild.com/almost30, you can get your bra on. All right, love you.
So you wanted to start the company, you have the idea, and then what? Like, and then what did you start doing?
Well, so basically Unbound was a subscription box company to start and
created by you.
And so there was this amazing woman, Sarah Jane, mm-hmm. and another amazing guy named Dave. And the three of us were doing it and it was subscription box only. And it was the reason it started as a subscription box was mainly because of the business model. So I didn't have like any money, right? Like I was like, I remember I'd saved up like $5,000 and I was like, this will get me through.
Like, yeah, you're like, I'm good for a year.
Yeah, I was like, I'll be fine. I'm great. Burned through that really, really quickly. Obviously. And, but the thing that was great about the subscription box is that I could, you know, get people to sign up. I could charge their cards. I could go out and buy the inventory. I'd pack up all the boxes and then I'd ship them out. And then I would do that once every 3 months. But it was really hard to scale the business. And so briefly, Dave and Sarah Jane, with startups, they all have these like crazy life cycles. And Dave and Sarah Jane were like, we can't keep doing this. Like it's crazy. It's too much. And so then it was just me for a while. And I was like, what am I doing? And my mom's like, please just shut this company down. Like this is not going to take off. It's not going to happen. That was when Jackie reached out to me and she like came on and she was good at all like the operational things. I'm very much more like marketing and design oriented. And so focused on that. And we were able to like really scale the business, do a small friends and family round, which was like the hardest thing I've ever done. Like asking friends and family for money, especially as a woman, is terrifying. Like it's way, I don't know. I remember I come from like a very middle class background family. Right. And I remember one of my best guy friends from high school was like, I'll support you. I'll give you a check. And I was like, Ryan, what? No, you can't give me a check. Like, stop. And he's like, no, really. He's like, I will sell my Jeep and I will take the money from that and I will put it into your company.
What?
And yeah. And I remember just thinking like, oh my God, like he's really serious. He wants to do this. And like, it was just, that check meant more to me than like almost any other check, because it was just like somebody being like, he's like, Polly, you're like the smartest, most hardworking of all of our friends. Like it's obvious this business is going to be a $1 billion company no matter what. And I was just like, wow, like I don't feel that way about myself, but like hearing somebody else say that about you, you're kind of like, okay. Mm. I was like, and now it's like my sole goal in life to like make Ryan a millionaire 100%. One day. Cause it's just like, I don't know, stuff like that. You have people that believe in you and support you, and it just makes you want to work that much harder. And it was, I mean, I think I got over 200 rejection, just no's, whether it was like an accelerator or an investor, or I mean, I can't tell you how many people told me my idea was just stupid.
From what angle, like if you're pitching to investors, like did your angle change, or like how was it different so that you could really pull in these most likely men in the room? Were you ever pitching to women? Is it also a question?
Those are great questions. So I thought for sure that like getting up there and telling my story about like going through cancer and realizing how like female sexuality is like so like overlooked in the marketplace, and like I thought that like the women would be the ones that would be like, oh my God, yeah, we totally get it. Like we're the target consumer. And the female investor group was actually the group that judged me the most, which was really disappointing because there, a lot of them are older. A lot of them are former Wall Street women, right, who had careers in finance and banking. And to them, I think they would look at me and say like, we've worked so hard to get to where we are and you're undoing all of it with this sex business that you're trying to promote. And it was hard because to me, I'm like, no, this is like the next phase of feminism. This is the next, like, this is what, like, the evolution of like female owned and operated and like entrepreneurship and leadership looks like. But it was a lot of the female funds that wouldn't even take a meeting with me. Like, just categorically were like, this is too taboo. We don't want to touch it. Like, this is trashy and we don't want to be affiliated. And it was just like, okay. So yeah, ended up raising venture funding from an amazing lead investor, Paige Craig, out of Arena Ventures, sat down with me. He's an incredible human. Like, his personal story is crazy. He's really impressive. He was in the military and like sold his company and then was like an early investor in some amazing companies. And I remember I sat down with him for coffee for this meeting, and he's a very like intimidating person. He's like the nicest, most amazing guy ever. But like, when I first sat down with him, and I was so nervous, I was sweating so badly. And I was just like, I texted my co-founder 10 minutes in and I was like, he hates me. I was like, this is a disaster. He's never going to invest. This isn't going to happen. And then I just kept talking to him, and like, we have a very similar background and coming from like really like lower class, middle class families, and like working our way to get to where we had gotten. And a lot of times you don't see that in Silicon Valley. And like, I think he saw a little bit of himself in me and was just like, I'm going to give you a shot. Like, let's do the deal. So at that point, we were also generating a ton of revenue, and it blew my mind because I would go to these accelerator like interviews and I'd be sitting next to bros who had like a pre-beta app idea that hadn't even launched yet. And I'm like, hi, yeah, we're generating millions in revenue. Like, why are you not letting us into this program? Like, people were just, it was, I don't know, it was the whole fundraising thing totally changed my perspective of like how insular the startup world is, and how like it is just a network that you have to break into. And it's really hard to break into that network if you don't come from it or aren't a part of it already.
Did you just cold call people? Like, it takes some balls to like meet with some dude at an investor agency and like pitch your company to ask for money. Like that, honestly, few things scare me, but having one of those conversations would be terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, so the cold emails didn't work. Like I just wouldn't get responses. And so I was just actually talking to my best friend about this morning. We were talking about how good we are at stalking people and like how it actually, it yields really good tangible results. So like I would get on Facebook, I would find like the venture capital company that I would want to meet that was like specific for direct to consumer. So to answer your earlier question, because our business pitch did evolve over time. And we really wanted to focus on selling direct to consumer and cutting out distributors, because distributors in our industry take a 40% cut. So it artificially inflates the prices, similar to like what Casper, Warby Parker did, where they just cut out the middleman. So I would go out and try to find like who are the great venture capital companies that had backed like all these amazing brands. And then I'd try to see if I had any mutual friends or any like second degree connections on like LinkedIn. And then I would reach out to those people to ask for an intro. And like, sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't. But usually if you can get somebody who knows someone, they'll at least give you 15 minutes of their time. And then I just got really good at pitching. Like I would wake up every single day and in the mirror, literally I'd practice pitching because it's so intimidating and you have to like, you get 15 minutes to like get someone to like believe in you, believe in your company and not think that like selling vibrators is weird.
Well, yeah, we're taking notes here, girl.
That's amazing.
But what I love about Unbound is that like you're kind of taking that pornographic filter out of like this whole industry of vibrators and lubricants and toys and all of that. Like it's cool. It's relatable. It's like anyone can buy it. Like, I don't know. I think there's like this like stigma that is so attached to that industry, like we were talking about, but I just love that you've like created this aesthetic and this brand that people are really relating to you. Like, do you find that with like your customer base? Like, are you reaching people? Are you getting like mail saying like, wow, I tried this. Me and my husband like got the box. What's the feedback been like? Because I just think it's from my perspective, I feel like you're reaching so many more people than like the average, you know, sex toy company.
Yeah, I think the feedback we get is really positive. To me, I never understood why it was like, let's put a woman in 4-inch heels and like some like lingerie and like throw that on our website. It just seemed so like gratuitous. I just think that human sexuality is this thing that affects everyone. And so we have to like do better. And I think like if you can just present products in a way where they're not so scary, I think sexuality requires us all to be vulnerable. And I think being vulnerable is really, really hard.
Yep.
And I think if you go to a website and you see a bunch of women that like are beautiful and have perfect bodies and all that stuff, it's like, I mean, I know how I feel when I see them and I'm like, I don't look that way. So I probably shouldn't be shopping in this category. And I think that's silly.
Like, am I sexy? Like, am I not sexy? Because I don't look the way that they do.
Right. And the other thing that's really fascinating is that like, we have a less than 1% return rate. So it's not, wow. So like the products work. People love them. They make their lives tangibly better. The biggest hurdle we have to overcome as a brand is how do we give women permission to buy them? Because I think a lot of women, if they've never owned a vibrator, just assume, oh, that's not for me. Because if you've never used one or if you don't own one, like it's really hard to give yourself permission to want to try it. And so that's the thing we constantly think about as a company and as a brand is like, how do we let women know that it's like totally okay to shop in this category and it doesn't make you weird? It's not bad. It's like a good thing. So yeah, I think it's interesting that's our biggest hurdle.
So crazy that we live in such a like patriarchal society where like we have these like old ideals of the way sex should be and that women like shame other women who are embrace their sexuality and like shun them and like that we still believe that sex is this like myopic one way of being. So like the sex is big boobs, lingerie, heels, whatever, and it's led by men and it's only okay to use dildos and vibrators when it's a man's idea. And if a woman chooses to like empower herself
and her sexuality by buying these things, she's seen as like promiscuous and it's like seen in a negative light. You know, it's just, it's crazy. Like, yeah, it's like crazy what you're doing. Like breaking barriers in that way. And I love like that Unbound More is more so a wellness company. You know what I mean? Like part of being well and like the holistic, and holistic health is like having a healthy sex life. Like it's not weird. It's not bad. It's normal, whether it's with yourself or with, you know, a partner consistently or inconsistently. It's like, that's part of like loving your body and like in spirituality, in a spirituality sense, like of all the chakras, like having a like healthy root chakra and connecting with yourself in that way is like an ultimate form of pleasure, which is like what we're on earth to do.
You're very, very wise.
I can't believe, I mean, this is crazy. I like just, I'm like, I've seen like the light of like what you're doing and it's crazy. So I want to talk about starting your own business and some of like the challenges that you've had to overcome. Cause I know people will be inspired to, you know, to maybe start their own business or something like that. So I'd love to talk about anything, any challenges you've had since starting Unbound.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. It's so lonely. I don't think anyone tells you how lonely it is.
And that's like so true.
It's so hard to do something on your own. And like, there's, and even just like, you know, having someone to get feedback, like, hey, can you read this email? Like, does this sound stupid? Like stuff like that. It's really lonely. It's really hard. And so I think one of the things that I did that was the most instrumental was starting the Women of Sex Tech, which is this group of female founders in the space, because we also got a lot of just like judgment and stigma for the industry. Like couldn't open a checking account, couldn't get Stripe as a payment processor.
Why?
Categorically because of the industry. They were just like, we don't work with
really
companies.
Wait, is that legal?
Yeah, it's totally legal. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So it's really interesting, right? Because like I was listening to NPR the other day and they were doing this story on how PayPal and Airbnb and a couple of these startups are denying the Nazis and white supremacists access to use their website, which we're all like, yeah, go Airbnb, go whatever. Like tell those Nazis, which like, yeah, nobody wants to do business with those guys. Like they're awful. But at the same time, it's kind of like we forget that the companies get to deny our company, they don't have to do business with us.
Damn,
like, because they can make that judgment call.
Like Chick-fil-A being closed on Sundays.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think about.
Exactly. We ran into so many barriers, but I think having like that community of other female founders to just like sometimes commiserate with, sometimes inspire you, sometimes just be your friend, because like it's a, you know, you're working long hours and your personal life kind of takes a little bit of a dive, and it can get lonely and it can get overwhelming. And like, there are so many people that as your business grows that are like depending on you and looking to you for like all the answers all the time. And sometimes you're just like, I don't have all the answers. Like I'm figuring this out as I go, and I've never done this before. And I think sometimes that's really scary. And so having a group of women that like are also going through that is really powerful, which is kind of why I just believe so much in sisterhood. I believe so much in feminism. I believe so much in women supporting other women. Like I spend my weekends just talking to other startup founders because I want to help them with what they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, we just want to interrupt this episode to tell you about a few events that we have coming up. Our Sex, Love, and Other Things event is taking place on October 14th from 3 to 7 p.m. It's a Saturday at the Sage Wellness Store on Abercrombie in Venice, California. If you're in town or visiting, please go to our website, almost30podcast.com. Go to the events tab and you can grab your tickets there. We're so excited. We have some amazing speakers joining us on that Saturday. We have Sophie Jaffe, who is the boss babe behind The Philosophy. And she's a Los Angeles-based health and wellness expert, certified as a raw food chef and yoga teacher. She founded her company and wellness brand, Philosophy, with the goal of making it easier, more inspiring, and more delicious to attain optimal health and radiant wellness. We have Sophie on the podcast in the next few weeks. Look out for that. But she opened up to us about her relationship with her husband and how it's been a really long road to get to the place, the beautiful relationship that they have now. So she's going to be opening up to us about that at the event. We also have Alexandra Roxo, who is a transformational coach, a brand expert. She's an artist. She's an actress. But Alexandra uses shamanic tools, journey work, tarot, somatic body work, polarity work with her clients to help them rewrite their stories, break through blocks, really feel exactly how you want to feel. So we're going to be diving into that on the sex front and intimacy front. And then finally, we have Polly Rodriguez, co-founder of unboundbox.com, which you are learning, who you are learning about right now. So we're so excited to have those three ladies at this beautiful space. And we hope that you can come. And we also have coming up our Who Are You event. We are co-hosting with Beat Simkin. Beat is a world-renowned meditation leader. She is an artist. She is a singer. She is a force in this world. She's going to change this world. After our interview with Beat a while back, Krista and I both felt so moved by her, even though it was over the phone. We're so excited to get to meet Beat and co-host this event with her. This event, Who Are You? A Guided by Beat experience. It is a workshop for the hidden method to reveal who you truly are and what you came on this planet to do. It's going to be a beautiful guided meditation. There will be refreshments and an intimate setting and just a wonderful group of people coming together at the Parachute Hotel on Rose Avenue in Venice, California. It will be on November 7th from 7 to 10 p.m. We can't wait to see you there. So head to our website for the links for both of those events. And yeah, we can't wait. Love you guys. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
Just the other day in the Facebook group, just a side story, but related to Unbound, we were talking about Unbound. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. Like I like sharing kind of like my experience with whatever it is, my sexuality, toys, whatever it is, because I honestly think like I almost see and feel like the release in the judgment, like if I'm talking to someone and the girls are just talking about like, oh yeah, like I've been thinking about getting a vibrator, or oh yeah, like I kind of want a new one. I want to explore this. Like they were being so open and it made me so happy. Like mm-hmm. I think the more we talk about it and the more we connect, and just like you with the women in sex tech, just like having that conversation be ongoing and how to reach more women, I think is so important. But just giving each other permission, like, hey, I'm not like, this is like judgment-free zone. This is like something we should be connecting on. It doesn't mean like we're, you know, gross or like bad people, you know. I just to see it in our Facebook group is kind of cool, to see them like open up about it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, I would always tell investors, like, when like it's unfortunate that it's the world we live in, but really women are just looking for permission. And yeah. I think we can all give that to each other. And we can all, that's amazing that you do that, because it takes a lot of bravery to be like, I use this and I don't think it's weird and like it makes me happy. And it, you know, like it takes a lot of guts to be the person to raise your hand and be like, yeah, like that's me. Like, and then you give so many other women permission to have that experience themselves, which is so powerful.
What's so interesting is that the women are like just waiting to say yes, right? Like they're kind of like, okay, like I can do it. And it's so funny, my experience with men, if like they know I have a vibrator or whatever it is, they're like, wait, what? You have a vibrator? So it's like, one, the thought is, oh, I'm not good enough. Or two, that, oh, do you like do other things that are kind of like promiscuous or whatever they think it is. I actually like, so I got the vacation box from Unbound, and I had like the like travel size lube, whatever. I was in New York, and anyway, so I freaked out this person because I brought out some lube.
Like, it was like, wait, she's prepared.
Like, it was the funniest shit. And I adore him, so it's fine. Like, whatever. It's like, it was the funniest.
You're like, it was my dad.
He's like, what is that? I was like, what do you mean? I was like, by the way, it's organic and all natural. But anyway, yes. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, this is going to make it so much better.
You're welcome, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so funny. Like, he was fine after a second, but it was like, it freaked him out. I was like, wait, what is going on? Like, it blew my mind. And I, you know, I have to have patience with people kind of catching on, I guess, but I also need to just like stand in my truth of like, I don't really give a fuck. Like,
I love it.
You know, but
yeah, no, I've been there. One time I was hanging with a guy and I like went to the bathroom to like get the lube that I brought and like, and I don't know why, but I was like kind of embarrassed to be like, it makes sex better. And then I accidentally dropped it and it was like in this glass vial and it shattered everywhere.
Oh, no.
And he's like, what are you doing in there? And then I was like, oh, I don't want to tell him that I just shattered lube all over his bathroom. So then I had perfume in my purse and I took it and I smashed it. And I was like, oh, I just dropped this perfume.
You're such a troublemaker, girl.
You have like blood all over your hands. You're like, I just smashed this thing.
I should have just been like, sorry, I dropped this like vial of lube and now it's on the floor.
Oh my God.
But sometimes it's hard. Like it takes so much bravery to
it does.
To just be like, yeah, man, like lube's great. Like we're using it.
Yep. Yeah. I guess it comes with like being comfortable with someone too. I mean, I remember like long-term relationships, like we would bring in some like cool, fun, weird stuff, you know? And I think it does take like a little bit of time, especially for men, because they just like automatically assume that we're doing this with like 12 other guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just assuming that we're being kind of like fun and promiscuous with a lot of people. That's why we have toys and lube. Like, no.
Totally.
I'm doing it for myself.
I'm trying to think actually. I wouldn't really know, but like in standard American porn right now today, like I don't think they use toys, right? So most dudes that are watching porn probably aren't watching porn that involves toys. I mean, they use
like dildos, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, but it has to look like a dick and they're like violently shoving it up someone's vagina.
Yeah, or they're just fucking them, right? I don't know. But, like, I don't think, because that's more focused on, like, women enjoying it rather than, like, the men, you know what I mean, enjoying it.
That's so true.
Which is the thing. Okay, this is blowing my mind. So, we talked about the difficulties of starting a job. What's the best part of owning your own company?
The best part for me is, like, having a, like, place where women get to come to work and, like, love what they do. Like, the fact that I think now we're a team of 12 to 13 people full time.
Wow.
And it's just like, it's amazing to just be able to see other women grow in their positions. We also have three amazing men that work at our company and they're fantastic. But like, it's really magical to be a part of like women who all, like, it's kind of scary and mind-blowing sometimes. Like, I'll talk to Sarah Jane and I were talking about it just the other day because, like, we'll go to events and people will be like, I love Unbound. And I'm like, you do? Like, because it's just, like, it's for so long been this just little thing this like that we had and that was weird and, like, we thought it was weird, but, like, we loved it. And then, like, other people started to love it and you're just like, oh, my God, like, other people believe in this too. I'm not the only person who thinks this is important. And I think being on a team of women who are all like really sex positive, but also really professional and like brilliant is the best part about like having a company and running a company. And also like, I just think mentoring and like the startup community of female founders is so like inspirational. And I want it to get better because I do think that like women need to do a better job of like helping other women, like once they get to their, you know, like once you've raised funding, it is your responsibility to help other women do the same, because that's how you change the narrative. Like the fact that only 5% of venture funding goes to women, 5%,
wow,
is appalling.
Wow,
only 17% of startups have a female founder. Like it's like that narrative has to change. There have to be more women that are raising funding and are leading businesses. If that's what women want. Like, I think it's...
I know what you mean. I just got chills. I mean, yeah, and that's the thing is it's like, we're not like trying to take over. You know, we're not trying to like take away from like men getting funding, but 5% is like, that's fucked up. That grosses me out, to be completely honest. I don't know if women not asking for it, do you think? Or what, like, I guess, like, I wonder what's the percentage of women that actually ask for funding and get denied versus men that ask for funding and get denied?
I mean, I think fundraising in general is hard. And I think that there are less female founders than there are male founders. But I also think that with investing, because money is like, it's such a like difficult thing to get, because you're effectively giving it to a stranger, right? And so there's so many like biases that are built into that process where people identify with, like, totally, you know, not maliciously and not consciously, with people that look like them and people that, like, it's like, oh, like,
yeah,
you're like,
right,
you're like me, so I'm going to support you. And so I think it just takes men, like, really, it takes having one more female investors, because there are an abysmal amount of, like, they're like no women. I think less than 10% of VC partners are women. And I can see why, because like the stuff that some of these like VC guys say to you in your fundraising is like literally insane. Like, it is such a sexist environment. So I can see why there aren't a lot of female venture partners. But yeah, it's just like, it's brutal. I can't tell you. It's also like weird because you like meet with them one-on-one and it feels like a date. Like,
ew, yeah, does. That's what I would be thinking about too.
Because like you're meeting at a restaurant and yeah, like at 7 p.m. and it's just like, it's awkward.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it is for them too. Like, I remember I met Paige, like I met him for coffee in the morning and he likes to do deals really quickly. So he's like, come back this evening. Like let's come back with your co-founder. Like, let's all meet, like, let's all talk about this. And so I came back that evening to meet him in the same like restaurant to like talk through the deal some more. And we're like both standing at the hostess stand and the like hostess, you know, to no fault of her own, just assumed I was his wife and was like, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Oh, Craig. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, I'm not his wife. Like, I'm not his wife. Like, and it's just like, that's no one's fault, but it's just like, it makes it so awkward.
Yeah.
Cause it's just, yeah. So.
Okay. It's tough. I wanted to come to New York and see the office. Oh, I just want to ask a few like lightning questions about Unbound products for our listeners. Mm-hmm. So if someone has never used a toy before, what would be the toy you'd recommend to them?
If they are willing to spend a little bit, my all-time favorite is the Mina Limon.
Okay.
I can send you guys the Mina. We're actually like, well, we're coming out with 3 vibrators in like 2 months. Those are the ones I would definitely recommend. But the Mina Limon is my favorite. The harder you squeeze it, the harder it vibrates. It looks like a lemon, literally. It's,
oh yeah, I saw that.
So amazing. Yeah. It's so cute. Rumbly. It's really good. And I like the vibrators that are a little more like rumbly versus, mm-hmm, you'll get some that like have like a high intensity. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird though, because like I never knew that there was a difference when I first got into this industry. I was like, whatever, they all just vibrate. Aren't they all the same? And they're actually very different. And mm-hmm, then people are also obsessed with the Womanizer, which is like a suction based technology. The name is horrific. Like, I don't know. I it's owned by like this German guy. And I'm just like, dude, why would you name it this?
Yeah.
Like, the Womanizer. But people go, like, lose their shit over it. Like, it's...
Really?
The technology is insane. Because it's like this suction little thing. It's...
Fuck yeah. It's a lot. We'll put it in the show notes. Okay. Last other question. What's something that couples can use?
There are a lot... I mean, there's a couple's vibrators. There are, like, cock rings are really popular, which, mm-hmm, basically, like cuts, not cuts off, but like
it, cuts, I guess, off the kind dick. Of kind of cuts off, well, the dick.
It does, yeah. It it cuts off some of the circulation, which allows him to last longer and have more intense orgasms.
Yeah,
and then you can get like vibrating cock rings, which are fun. I just think lube's amazing. I think everyone should use lube all the time. It makes everything so much better. So,
and
yeah.
Your favorite box.
My favorite box. I do love the beginner's box because it has the Mina Limon, which is my favorite. And then it also has these hanky pankies that are like, one's just like a regular like thong and then one's a crotchless thong, which is like kind of, I don't know, they're like, it's little, like spicy
and
fun.
I love some crotchless uns.
Yeah.
If you can take a step out of like the undressing process and just let me leave my hanky pankies on, I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. That's so fun. Okay. So we, well, our group is already so obsessed with Unbound, but our listeners can go to unboundbox.com, Unboundbox on Instagram, right? Mm-hmm. And what are you most excited about in the next year?
Oh, coming out with these vibrators. Yeah. And I'm so excited for what we named them. They're called Squish, Bean, and Zip. And the lubricant's called Jelly, so that you can get Bean is like a clit vibe. And so you can get like Jelly and Bean together because it's like a water-based lubricant. So it's not, it doesn't have like, if you have a silicone lubricant, you shouldn't use it with a silicone product because it will like erode away. It just will kill your vibrator. So good to know. Good fun fact. But yeah, I'm really excited to come out with these products because I've been doing this for like 2.5-3 years. And it's really annoying to see sometimes where the products are priced because I know the cost of goods sold. Like I know how much it costs to manufacture. And I'm kind of like, this should not cost like $150. Like that's silly. So we're coming out with a line that like the focus is on medical grade, body safe, high quality, but at a price point that like is much more reasonable.
At a price point that anyone can enjoy.
Right.
I'm excited about you coming to our event.
Yeah, we're so... Oh,
yes, me yes. too. I can't wait.
I'll answer for you. October 14th, 3 to 7 in Venice, California. We're having
Sex, Love, and Other Things event. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're so excited.
So Polly's going to be speaking there. We're going to have some Unbound products. We're going to have some other amazing speakers. It is going to be an afternoon of the ages. It's going to be amazing.
It'll be so fun.
Can't wait to hang out with you.
Fun. Yeah, can't wait to meet. Polly, thank you so much for making time.
Thank you both so much.
Yeah.
We love you. And
you guys are the best.
You're the best.
You are the best.
I want to pick your brain later.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Actually, I want to come hang out at Unbound offices. Mm-hmm. I would love to like work at the Unbound offices. Should.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Next time we're in New York for sure.
Love that.
Yes.
Awesome, girl. Have a great Saturday. We'll see you soon. One month and a half.
I can't wait. Thank you so much.
Bye, girl. Time. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. All right. Bye.
Hey guys, we hope you loved that episode. Thanks so much to everyone who has been writing really, really kind, amazing reviews on iTunes. If you haven't rated and reviewed on iTunes, it only takes 2 minutes. We would love for you to review. It helps us to bring on more incredible guests and have amazing sponsors to share with you. So please do that on iTunes. And if you haven't already, go to our patreon.com/almost30 website and you can donate a few bucks a month to get rad rewards, whether it's an Almost 30 dad hat or extra episodes and much, much more. It's so much fun. We love you guys on there. Thank you so much for your donations if you've donated. And finally, a few thank yous. This podcast is not just Kristen and I sitting here working on it. We have a team of angels that are working hard to bring you the best content every week. So we would love to shout out podcastmasters.net. Cody and his team are rock stars. They are so efficient. They bring ideas to the table. They want us to have the best podcast possible, and they do everything in their power to make it so, so good. So thank you guys. Please visit their website, podcastmasters.net. And we would love to shout out Chloe Money. Chloe is our producer at Almost 30. She does everything, and we honestly wouldn't be where we are without her. She is a creative. She makes us laugh every day. So thank you, Chloe. We love you. We love you. And to all those helping us and messaging us and sending us suggestions and inspiration and just sending us good energy, we love you. Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.